very thankful to have every person on the call this morning, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests and you're a distinguished guest of our audience, and we pray that you have joined our call to learn more about what God's will is for your life and the saving of your souls. In the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. Therefore, we believe that we must strictly adhere to the commands given to us in order for one to be saved, in order to be kept in our home. And we believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died and suffered on the cross, on Calvary, and the place of the skull, and there he suffered and shed the blood that will wash our sins away in baptism, and that same blood purchased his bride, his church, the Church of Christ, the only church you ever read about in the Bible, you ever hear us preach about here. You have experienced this morning, New Testament pattern of worship. When we sing without the help of mechanical instruments of music, we will pray. We men will lead the services. We take communion every Sunday, and we'll preach from the Word of God. And we give, not tithe, we give according to the Scripture, a cheerful giver, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And to those who are visiting with us from other congregations, you're a very honored guest as well. We thank you so very much for choosing this opportunity to be with us and choosing us for your place of worship via conference. And we're praying for all of the congregations and all of us as we'll be returning to our buildings and trying to do things safely and according to the guidelines given to us by our leadership in different congregations. Pray for all of you and all of us as well. This morning, continue our study of the book of Revelation, hopefully, prayerfully, that you have enjoy the study of Revelation. Many are afraid to teach from this book, but it's one of the greatest books in the Bible. It has a future prophecy in it. Thank God some of this we have not experienced yet, but we know that day is coming. So I must briefly recap this morning and bring back to remembrance the things that we've learned from chapters number 16, 15, 14, 15, through now 21. And we looked at the future prophecy of judgment. We know judgment has not come, but we saw, we'll see, and we have shown that the fall and doom of the false teachers is being recognized as judgment. The false prophets, Satan and his angels, are now doomed to the bottomless pit, and everyone who didn't obey the gospel are going to go there known as the second death. Second death will be to those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. John said in that he saw the dead, small and great, standing at judgment, and they had to be tried. And so they got to go face God on judgment. That old devil, the Satan, his reign is over. He's now into that pit with no bottom. There's no way out of it. Everyone who obeyed him are found disobedient to God, will also fall in that pit. We talked about those details in other sermons. I encourage you to go back and listen to them. They're on our website. He also said, well, whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they were cast into the lake of fire. And now, in chapter 21, those who will hear him say, well done. He will present to us the holy city and the new Jerusalem and the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that's the title of my lesson this morning, the bride, the Lamb's wife. Let's look at chapter 21 and see what we can get out of this lesson this morning. If you would take notes, it would be important that you take notes as we study here. I'll give you some details of what chapter 21 is teaching us. The Bible says in chapter 21, verse 1, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Notice that, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. This confirms to me what Peter said would happen in 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses number 10. He said, but today of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's why I don't want to be in no kingdom hall, as teach by Jehovah's Witnesses. John said there's a new heaven and a new earth. What is he talking about? Is he talking about a new sky? Heavens, that we is called the sky? Is there a new earth for man to live on? No. This is a new heaven, and a new earth fitted for heavenly bodies, not for physical bodies. John said in verse number 2, I saw the holy city. John is starting to paint a picture to us. Go with him now. John said, I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Notice that. He sees something now. John sees a city, a holy city, he says. And this city is the new Jerusalem, he calls it. Coming down, notice it, coming down. Think about that now. When you think about heaven, he said this city is coming down from heaven, out of heaven. And this city that he's picturing is prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. That's interesting to me that it's coming out of heaven and it's prepared, it's prepared. That reminds me of what Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It sounds something like what he's saying. This physical Jerusalem, this is a physical Jerusalem is a city. Remember that? Where the Jews, it was the Jewish capital, the city selected by God for his chosen people, the Jews. Now there's another one. It's called the spiritual Jerusalem. That's the difference. It's still considered a city, but it's a spiritual Jerusalem. And when we obey the gospel, we understand that we came unto Mount Zion. I talk about that. The city, it was considered a city of the living God. Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer says there was a heavenly Jerusalem. Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse number 22. He said, but you are come unto Mount Zion. So you come unto Mount Zion. There it is right there. You come unto Mount Zion. Notice what he says there. You come unto Mount Zion and to the city. There it is again. The city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. He's talking to the Hebrew Christians. You in the heavenly Jerusalem, but to an innumerable company of angels. Now in verse 23 said, to the general assembly and the church and church of the firstborn. Notice it said, which are written in heaven to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. There he said, he pointed out, there's a general assembly of these, those on that in Mount Zion, that city of the living God, that heavenly Jerusalem. He says that city is the city of the firstborn. The firstborn, Colossians chapter number chapter number 1, verse 15, the Bible says there, Paul says, who is it? Talking about the preeminence of Christ. He said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. That's talking about Christ. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Notice verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. The body means a definite article, one, the one church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So the church of the firstborn is the church of Christ. You cannot get around that and use the Bible. You might as well just throw it away. Bible no good to you. There's only one church in the Bible. It's referred to as the church of Christ. No modern day denomination of church in there. Don't say that to be mean. I'm just being honest. Not in there, y'all. Just not in there. So the church of the firstborn, this is that group that John is seeing. The church of Christ, those who obey the gospel. We came unto Mount Zion. We are now the city of the living God, the whole heavenly Jerusalem. Let's go back to Revelation 21 and verse 3. John said, I heard a great voice out of heaven. John is listening now. Got to listen to him. Listen, this is going to be very You got to have a vivid imagination as we paint this picture that John's going to paint for us from the scripture, guided by the Holy Spirit. John said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with me. The tabernacle of God is with me. A tabernacle is a dwelling place. So this dwelling place, John said, this voice saying, hey, there is a dwelling place where God will be with me. He will dwell with them. He will be there. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them. And they and be their God. There are people in this city. They are his people. They belong to God. And God himself will be with them. What a sight. God is fellowshipping with these people. These are the saints, y'all. And the question I have for the listeners of me, will you be in that number? Look what John says. Look what he says. And God, there he is, with these people, God shall wipe away all tears. This is a beautiful message, you all. All tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, the life of man began in the garden, Adam and Eve. It was only a few in that number. And it ends, man's life. And journey on this earth we end. And it's revealed in Revelation that it will be a city of those, a home for those, the city of Jerusalem, that new Jerusalem, the redeemed, the church of Christ, those washed by the Savior's blood and were obedient, became the faithful bride to the new Jerusalem, the husband, I'm going to talk more about that, of this bride. And this God is here in this heavenly Jerusalem. God is going to be with these people. And yeah, I've cried a lot in my life, I'm sure you have too. But y'all, what he's saying to us here is that there will be no sorrow. There will be no travail, no pain of any kind will ever enter into the walls of this city. There will be no cry of anguish that will be uttered from the mouth of the saints. No hearts will ever be broken again. No tear shall ever dim our eyes. And the most glorious part of all, there will never be a funeral. There will never be a casket. And we'll never have to sit on the front row to witness and observe the death of those we love. Death began his stay on man in a garden. There was a paradise. And because of Adam's transgression, death came on all of us. But in the end, when the final judgment, Christ has condemned and crushed Satan. And God is saying there'll be no more deed, no more death, no more hate in the world, no more else. In the lake of fire. This new Jerusalem will be a place that will be without pain, a place that will be without tears, a place that will be without death. Why? Because the former things have passed away. It will be a sinless city. It will be nothing like we see today. What a day. What a place. What a way to end this whole tragedy of sin that was brought upon men, but redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So John says, that voice came and told him that God is going to be with these people. And God himself will take care of all these painful things and experiences. And John said, I see God wiping away tears. I see all this, no more of this painful experiences. What a beautiful sight. John must have had tears in his eyes like I do myself. Then one day, we're going to trade this earthly home for a better one, right and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. We'll join him in that land where tears nor sorrows can be found. We receive our mansion, our robe, and our crown. What about John? What else do you see, John? John, verse 5, he said, I see he that sat up on the throne said, this is Jesus speaking. John said, Jesus was sitting up on the throne, Lord of lords and King of kings. And he makes this statement. Behold, or look, he tells John, look, John, I make all things new. And he said unto him, write. See, that's why you got to read what's written. Because he told John, Jesus told John, write this down, John. This is the third time in this book, in addition to the epistles to the churches in chapter 2 and 3, where John receives a special command from Jesus. He said, write. The other time he said in Revelation 14, 13, Revelation 19, 9, and now, in Revelation 1, 11, excuse me, and now in Revelation 21. Now, he told him to write something. That what I'm getting ready to tell you, first thing you write down, John, for the people who are going to read it, that's the problem. Many people, they're going to lose their soul because they don't read. Go along with what grandma said, or what granddaddy said, or what Reverend Joe said, what Reverend Joe shouldn't be telling you to call him Reverend anyway, a father so and so, a doctor so and so, all these men elevated themselves, and you listening to those men, you better read what's written in the scripture. And every man listening to me ought to read for yourself, no matter who the person is. You don't trust men with your soul. You go back to the one who says, these words are true. And they are faithful. That's Jesus saying that. Now listen to him. And verse 6. He said unto me, John said, Jesus said to me, it is done. It's over. It's in. It's over, John. I am the beginning, the Alpha. I am the Omega. I'm the beginning, the end of it all. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. There are no restrictions. I started it, I'm ending it, and I'm going to let everyone drink freely from this fountain of the water of life. In other words, there are no restrictions. Once we make it home, eternity is forever. And we freely drink of this life, this water of life. Then Jesus, verse 7, he said, write this, John. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. That's those of us who obey the gospel, who live faithful, even if it requires dying. He said, I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Write, John. Write this down. I will be his God, and he will be my son. But, verse 8, there's a but here. It's almost like he was saying, write this down too. John, don't miss this part. The fearful. He's going to go down a list of people who will not make it. Fearful. Those who feared losing their life for the cause of Christ, they were fearful. They were fearful. And Jesus said, fear not man who can destroy the body, but he that can destroy both body and soul in hell. There are some people who denounce Christ because they were threatened, their lives were threatened. He said, the fearful. And then number two, the unbelieving. Let me just drop this on. And I've been saying this quite frequently. That's really, I'm coming down to a simple belief about people who are going to be lost. It'll be people who don't believe. They don't believe the Bible. You can't tell me you believe any church when one, and the Bible says one. You can't believe, tell me you believe any way or do when the Bible says there's a straight and narrow way. You're just an unbeliever, my friend. And I need to tell you that with all the love in my heart. Just like members of the Church of Christ who don't believe to save the end of Church of Christ, you are an unbeliever. Yeah, I know there's some of them. Members of the church, you're just in the Church of Christ because you think it's the closest thing to right. That's why you haven't told your grandmother and grandfather and others who are outside of the Church of Christ. You haven't told them about the one church because you really believe that your grandmother is saved in a church other than the Church of Christ because your belief is unbelief. What'd you say, Brother Brooks? I said you're an unbeliever. When you believe that you're in a burning house, you'll get out of it. Just like people say, well, I just can't see baptism. Or no, you don't believe in baptism. You don't see nothing. You read. If Jesus said he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and you believe you need to be saved, then you don't question baptism, but you're an unbeliever. Because if you was in a burning house and we told you the house was burning, you would not stay in there if you believed us. Come on, quit trying to act like you are unbeliever. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. So did other people believe in Jesus. If you believe in him, then you do what he said. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, many will say unto me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name done many wonderful works? Jesus said, this is in verse 23, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Why? You did what you wanted to do. Call yourself a believer. That's what the world is doing. That's what you see Billy Graham and his son and all them. And all those under that Calvinistic belief system, that all you got to do is believe in Jesus. No, you got to believe and obey. If somebody tells you you're in a burning house, you got to believe, and they say what to do. Get out, go out through the window. Then obey, go out through the window. You're talking about, I don't believe the window is the right route. Well, you don't believe the person telling you. If you don't believe the saved in the Church of Christ, then you just got to die and figure out what you say. But that's what's written. That's what Jesus said. Write it down, John. So you got these unbelieving people. You got unbelievers who are not going to do what the scriptures say. Then you got the abominable, he said. Those are people who are polluted. Unnatural lust, homosexuality, all this stuff that's an abomination to God. Same-sex marriage. This stuff is an abomination. Whoremongering, adultery, fornication. All these are listed in there. Well, we can't just go along with society. He's telling these people are not going to make it in. Not only were they abominable and murderers, people who take lives, and that's why you got these protesters and all these people who are killing folks, they're going to answer to God, y'all. With Christians don't kill. Christians don't murder. Christians don't burn up buildings. We don't do that kind of stuff. Christians are peaceful people. It doesn't hurt my heart to hear Christians talk like that. We don't get all political side. We're not Republicans and Democrats. We're Christians. That's who we are. We abide by the law of God. That's what we do. And we live according to the scripture. Just be careful about associating yourself with things that are unlawful and immoral. Yes, yeah, I said it. I know there are some who oppose what I said, but that doesn't bother me. Because they say if you seek to please men, you're not the servant of Christ. That's what Paul said. I don't seek to please people. I hear you. I'll listen to you. But I'm not trying to please you. I'm saying the things that I believe are right that's going to save my soul and need to be said by men who are bold enough to say it just like I'm saying it. Not everybody's bold enough to say the things I'm saying. But I see Christians who believe they're going to go to heaven acting out there you're all caught up in politics. Come on now. You better stop looking at those news, particular news channels that's influencing the way you think, and get back to reading the scripture and live like God said live. Amen. Then you'll start praying for your president, not hating him. That's what God told us to do. So I can't stand Trump. You know, God told us to love him and pray for everybody. Enemies, no matter who you can't stand, you are supposed to pray. Why? Because you're a Christian. So that those people are not going to make it in. Murderers, whoremongers, that's pretty clear. Sexual immoral, sexual conduct, immoral, sorceries. Those are persons who buy drugs or other things, or going to supernatural things, getting on, talking about sorcery and witchcraft and that type of stuff. Be careful about all that. And caught up in what man said, we know, predictions, superstitions, all kind of things like that. And all liars. But I like the way Jesus said it. Let me just, Jesus called me, he's like, I'm going to close it out just in case they think there's a big sin and a little sin. I'm going to let you know, lying will take you to heaven just like murdering a man. Huh? Yes. Lying will cause you to lose your soul. He said they will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. It's the second death. Now you said, brother, this is what Jesus said. You go read, it's in red for those of you who believe in red letter edition. It's in red. We can't just go around telling lies. And some people are just habitual liars. And we said, well, that was just a little white lie. Well, be careful about the little angelic lie you're telling, because that's a lie. A lie is a lie. A lie is intended to deceive. And it does. You know who the greatest deceiver of all was? We studied that last week. That old Satan, the devil, who deceived the whole world. He's the father of lies. Why do you think that's in the Bible? Be careful with the little lie. Well, it seemed that Jesus wanted John to, didn't want John, he sure didn't want John to be a sugarcoater. Sound like, kind of like Brother Brooks, to me, a little bit. He kind of just wrote it straight up. Don't sugarcoat, don't mislead the people. Let me just list all of them that ain't going to make it, Tom. John, write this down. You can't tell them, Christians, they can't live any kind of way and expect to dwell with God and be in that place that we're talking about where there'll be no more tears, no more death. Let's go back to Revelation. I'm pretty tough on y'all right there. Revelation 21, verse 9. I do it with no apology. There it came unto me, John said, unto me, one of seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And John said, he talked with me. John said, it's become this one, the one. Now, we talk about them seven angels. You have to go back with the seven vials. And he said one of them came to him, and he talked with John. Think about this angel coming to John. He said, John, come here. Come here. We say, come here. Come here. When you get pop, when you get real fancy. When you're in the country, you say, come here. When you get in the city, you say, come here. And the King James Version said, come hither. So John, it's almost like the angel beckoning him, come here, John, come here. I will show thee. I'm going to show you something, John. What are you going to show me? I'm going to show you the bride. What? The bride, the lamb's wife. There's my title right there. See, so this angel said, I'm going to show you this bride. Now, I have already proven that the Christ is the lamb. John seen him come and said, behold the Lamb of God, John chapter 1, that take away the sin of the world. Now, I've proven that in other sermons. Christ is the lamb, and I've proven that his church is the bride. She is his wife, the church. Now, the bride is now, John said, I'm going to show you that bride, the lamb's wife. Now, I talked about this in detail in other sermons. The bride being the Christ's wife, and she wears her husband's name. Now, of course, now, he owns her because he purchased her with his own blood, Acts 20:28. He purchased the bride with blood. He cleaned up the bride with blood when she was washed. The bride is his wife, and every husband, wife is identified by the name she wears. That's why it's the Church of Christ. Can't you see that? Oh, you see that? I know you do. You're not blind, are you? You get one of these jealous husbands, he'll teach you what one wife means, and he will let you know that you should check her last name, because that identifies her as his wife. So the church is identified as the wife of the husband, and the husband is Christ. It's the Church of Christ. Okay. So John said, look here. Verse 10. He carried me away in the spirit. Okay, John is gone again. He's off in this spiritual vision. John said, he took me to this great high mountain to go there with him, y'all. He's like he's up on this mountain. I was studying, I just visualize him looking at on this mountain, way up in there. And John is looking. And he said, he showed me. John is looking at this mountain. But from this mountain, it's high. And that angel said, look, John, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you that wife, that bride. And then he said, John said, he showed me that great city. So he referred to the wife as that great city, that holy Jerusalem. There she is again. The church of the firstborn. The church of Christ. Descending. Notice, this is very important to this text, because we teach it. Now, we say things that are not just quite accurate here, because we talk about this city. Now, this city is descending, is coming out of heaven. So you see heaven up there, and then coming from heaven is this bride, this wife, the holy city, he called her, the new Jerusalem. And he said, I see her, Tom. I see the church. It's the bride of Christ. She's coming out of heaven from God. And here's what she looked like. She had the glory of God. Just a magnificent, glorious sight. And her, call her female, her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. John is trying to put it in a, and this is symbolism. He's putting it symbolically in a way that we can see beauty beyond imagination. He said, what do the bride look like, John? So she looked like the glory of God, the greatest, most beautiful thing you ever seen. She was like unto a stone that was precious, like a jasper stone. It was clear as crystal. These stones are beautiful stones as we can see them on earth today. So John sees the bride as beautiful as the stones that we see. Keep in mind, this is not a picture of heaven. Huh? This is not a picture of heaven. He's saying this is the bride. This is a picture of the holy city of people, of saints that would dwell with God in heaven. They're coming out of heaven. They're going to go back to heaven. They're going to dwell with him there. But this city is described. Watch how he describes the city. He's not describing heaven. He's describing the city. He's describing the church. He's describing the bride. How she beautiful she is. God is pitching the church of Christ as the most beautiful city made up of beautiful people, a royal priesthood, peculiar people. Listen to him now in verse 12. Watch how he paints the picture. And had a wall. What is he talking about? The city. The city that's going to go back and be with God. It's the church. He's looking at her. She has a great wall. It has 12 gates. And the gates, 12 gate angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city, still talking about the church, have had 12 foundations, and in the names, in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, the city, the bride, the church that will go back and dwell with God in his heavenly throne will be there as a city that looks like this. He said, verse 15, and he that talked with me, John said, the angel told me, he said, now, the angel that told me this time, he had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city, he said, lie four square. And he's just describing it. The length is as large as the breadth. He measured the city with the reed and 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and height, that's the height, depth, and weight, and width of it. And he measured the wall thereof 140 for cubits according to the measure of man, and that is of the angel. And the building of the wall, as of a, it was at, of jasper, and the city was pure gold, light unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city, talking about the church, was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, third chalcedony, and fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, the tenth chalcedony, sapphire, papyrus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. Now I might have messed up some of those words, of course. Those of you who speak a better English than Brother Brooks from East Texas, you go back and correct it for me. Now, in verse 21, he says, now the 12 gates, this is where people say, boy, heaven going to have 12 gates. He's talking about the church right here, the church that will be dwelling with God in heaven. Get that now, get that. Don't miss that. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. That's precious. That's value there. The several gate was of one pearl. Now notice this. We all say we're gonna walk the streets of gold. Now read this carefully. It says the street. It don't have an S on it. Remember Jesus said there's a straight and narrow way. Now the street of the city was pure gold. There's only one street. There's only one way into the city. There's only one way in to the city. It's a straight and narrow way. And to walk through this city, to walk in this city, you've got to walk on one street. And I know you've heard it. Oh, we're going to walk the streets of gold. Especially those preachers who like to get y'all emotional, pumped up. No, it's one street, it's straight and narrow, right into the city. And I'm telling you something, my friends. If you have not obey the gospel, you won't walk on this street. He said, what do you mean, Brother Brooks? You ain't been baptized. You ain't in the Church of Christ. You don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Yes, I'm talking about you. Because it's a straight and narrow way. These are the things God commanded. He commanded baptism. He commanded us to remember him. This you do, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. In Acts 20, verse 7, the apostles, disciples, broke bread on the Sunday, which is the first day of the week. That's the day of the resurrection. And communion is a memorial. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's a memorial commanded by Jesus. And we are to drink of the blood, for it is the blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the forgiveness or remission of sin. My friends and family and those who are listening, listen to me carefully. If you have not done what the scripture said do, what Jesus commanded you to do, you will not walk down this street because you chose the many other ways that man offered. He said, many were saying to me, Lord, we didn't do these things in your name. Many, he says in verse 14, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, and he had straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many will go that way. And the world wants us to believe, we all going to heaven, we're going a different way. No. The Bible doesn't say nothing like that. It doesn't say that. Come on. Go back and read your Bible. Start believing in the Bible. Start believing in the Word of God. You You don't go alone with this kind of stuff. And John said, back to John. It's a beautiful place. John said, I saw no temple therein. I said, what do you mean? There's no temple, no place of worship. No. For the Lord God Almighty is the temple. We will be assembling, not in a building with people. We will be assembling with God. We will be in assembly with God. Imagine what that's going to be like. When you hear all these angels singing a cappella, they don't have no bands and guitars and pianos and all that out there. They have voices. The voice of angels singing. Oh, my goodness. Man, if you never experienced a cappella singing, I would tell you to tell the people where you go to church, turn off them instruments and listen to what God can do with just voices. Just voices. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. I said, well, I just love my music. Well, you can love your music all you want. That's all. But my Bible said we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Ephesians 5:19. Singing and making melody in our hearts. That's in your mind. When we sing from the mind. And what comes out of our mouth are words. Not beatboxing. Not boop, boop, boop on a mic. Not piano, plucking on a piano, guitar, guitar, nothing like that. Nothing like that. We sing. That's what we do. We sing. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me. We sing. That's what we do in the Church of the Christ. We sing. That's what Paul said. What? In 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. You can't understand beatbox. That came from Dougie Fresh. I don't know how anybody could be at a Church of Christ where they beatboxing on a mic. That just blows my mind. How people can go along with boop boop. That stuff go with rap music. That don't go in worship. Oh, yeah, they don't like Brother Brooks. Some Church of Christ doing this stuff. I don't agree with it. I'm never going to agree with it. I'm always preaching against it. It ain't in the script. There's no example of it in there. And we're never going to do it where I'm preaching at. Never. Never. Not under my watch. No, sir. And nobody in the leadership to serve with me. They all agree with me just like me. I said, I got a full crew of brothers who got my back. And sisters. Yeah. And sisters. Because we believe that you don't play around with the scripture. We don't play around with God. We do it the way he said do it. That's what we're going to continue to do. That's what we're going to continue to preach. That's what we're going to continue to do. And we're going to continue to do it the way God told us to do. We'll approach his throne with sacrifice of praise, Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Watch out. Now, this is why we don't have no praise teams at High Lights. There should be no praise team in no Church of Christ. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Watch what he said here. Here's praise now. Here's how you praise God. That is the fruit of our lips, not clapping, not waving your hands, all that. It's singing, giving thanks to God. That's praise. Want to pray? Want to get your praise on? Open your mouth, start singing. That's what praising God is. Hebrews 13:15. Now, y'all know I'm not the popular preacher among Churches of Christ because many are doing these things, and I'm just one of those who oppose it. So you ain't gonna hear me calling me on no citywide lectureship. And maybe there's somebody on the call who go to congregations like this. You're welcome to repeat it because they've heard me say it. I'll say it to them. Yeah, I'll say it to them. I don't agree with it. I'm not going to ever agree with it. And it should never be the case. And if I was you, I would get out. I would go to a congregation that's sound. In other words, they're doing sound means healthy. It's healthy doctrine. In 2 John 9, the Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine or the teachings of Christ have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. You want to be pleasing to God and the Son. Let's understand the God here too. There's a Father who didn't die on the cross. The Son died on the cross. So the Godhead is made up of three personalities. Yeah, three different individuals. It's the Father who gave the Son who gave his life, and the Holy Spirit who gave us the Scripture. All of them had different roles, yet they are one God. Let's close this lesson now. Can y'all see how pretty, how beautiful this city is? In verse 23 said, the city, talking about the Church of Christ now, had no need of the sun. This is a spiritual place. We don't need the sun. We don't need the moon. For the glory of God is light. And so God is lighting it up, putting the light on it. The Lamb is the light thereof. Look at that. And the nation, now that's why you ain't want to be no racist. Now you don't want to be caught up in these racist movements. Now we got these black Hebrew Israelites. Brother Chad done a good job telling us God, no, Jesus never had no color. Go to our website and go to Nation NGT, Nationwide Gospel Truth, that new program we started. He done a great job on that. I totally approve it. God don't see color. He see blood. And you hear people, you hear members of the church who kind of talk like they look, got a little racist thought going through their mind. Y'all better get away from this stuff. Don't you know God don't see color? They got these people out there calling black Hebrew Israelites. Man, blacks can go to hell just like whites. Blacks can go to heaven just like white people can go to heaven. But God don't see black, white, blues. He don't see that. He don't see skin. He sees sin as the problem. In Acts 17:26, the Bible says, God had made of men of one blood all nations of men, all nationalities of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth and have determined times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Acts 17:26. So Brother Bruce, when God sees me, what do you see? You see blood. No matter what the skin color is, cut the skin, the blood will be red. Why can't people see this? Hatred. Hateful hearts. It's a hateful police that'll kill a man. It's a hateful man that'll kill a police. It don't matter who did the killing, it's wrong. But not all police are wrong. We got Christians who are police. One of our men, Brother Quentin Whitaker, is a major. He's not going to kill another man. Why? He know murder is sinful. Can't you label everybody as the same? Every group is not the same. You all, sin is the problem. Not the uniform is sin. And a man can wear a uniform and be a sinner that'll kill a man. But he gonna bust hell wide open. He got to answer to God. Just like the Christian who go out there and retaliate. Seeking revenge. God says, vengeance belong to me. I will repay, said the Lord. I hear some of you. I hear you. I be wanting to tell you to your face too. I probably should. In verse number 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defile it, neither with a soul ever work it abomination. There he is again. Or make it a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you don't believe truth, then you will believe a lie. And that'll cause you to lose your soul. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, my friend, is the Church of Christ. She's his wife. In heaven, when he goes back, he's coming to get the bride. And we're going to be caught up with him. And then he's going back to heaven, which is the Father's house, where he said, of many mansions. John 14. And there is when we would dwell with God. As this beautiful city of saints called the Church of Christ. Yep, that's it. Now, so, Brooke, how do I become a member of the Church of Christ? I'm glad you asked. Because here's how you become a member of the Church of Christ. You got to first believe in Christ. You got to believe in this book called the Bible, that we call the Bible. It's called Scripture. You got to believe the Scripture as it is written. You got to read what's wrote. And what's wrote in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the account written of Jesus coming to the world in John 3:16, because of God's love, you will love him as a father. I'm talking about the father who sent his son. The father didn't die on the cross, the son did. The father sent him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not, not shall not, like the Baptist preacher preaches. It's not shall. Some of you have been reading and saying shall. They don't say shall. It says should. You should not perish. You should not lose your soul if you would read and believe the scripture. If you read and believe, you will see a love story, a father who loved us, and a father who allowed his child to be born through a Virgin Mary to live about 33 years on the earth. He did good. In the end of his life, they killed him. They beat him. They murdered him. They hung him and executed him after beating him with a whip, put a crown of thorns on his head. His vesture was dipped in blood, meaning that he was bleeding from the time he left the beating by Pilate soldiers to the time he got to Calvary, and the soldiers executed him by putting nails in his hands and his feet and hung him between the two thieves. That's written in the scripture. And it's written that you might believe. If you can believe in something you never saw, then you are a believer. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. And you believe that he hung on that cross, you would cry over it. You would love God. You would love his son. Greater love had no man than he laid down his life. And that love would draw you to God. And you say, God, if you love me like that, if you gave your son, and your son went through all that for me, I can do what you want me to do. What do you want me to do? He said, what? Follow the word. You got to read and do what the scripture said do. So what did Jesus do? After they took him down off the cross, they buried him in the tomb, a borrowed tomb, and he resurrected. Oh, notice this, on the first day of the week, like we are doing today, we are assembling, we are serving God on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, as we call it in the world, but in the Bible, called day one. Day seven is Saturday. Day one is Sunday. On day one, he got up. On day one, he gave a command. When he got up, after he got up and met with his disciples, he said to them, in Mark 16:15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what I'm doing today. The gospel is the story of God's love for man, his death of his son on the cross, how he died according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's what you got to believe. That's how you develop your faith. Once you believe that, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That was commanded by Jesus. What should you do? Believe and be baptized. He said, next verse, he that believeth not shall be damned. Yep. I told you. You know who's going to miss heaven? Those who didn't believe. Those who didn't get baptized. Those who fought against it. I just don't see nothing. He didn't ask you to see nothing. He asked you to believe it. Read it. Believe, read. If you believe and read, then you can't get around believing and be baptized to be saved. You can't get around that. It's a conjunction. They go together. Believe and be baptized. Even in the English class I went to, anyway, and is a conjunction, I think. Matthew 28:18, he's going to teach all nations. There he is. Nationality, see, he wasn't talking about all nations. That one blood of all nations, Acts 17:26. And Jesus gets up and just straight up said, he said, now go teach all nations. All nationality of men, baptizing them. Matthew 28:18, see there? All nationality, no matter what walk of life you come from, you got to be baptized. What's baptism for? The remission of sins. Acts 2:38. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit ain't the gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know that, right? So you got to obey the Spirit by obeying what's written, given to us by the Spirit. And then you can have eternal life. You can be in that holy city. Yeah, you'll be in the church. Acts 2:47. Notice this. Nobody ever joined the church of Christ. Acts 2:47 said, praise God and have faith with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How do you get your name on the roll? Jesus said, believe and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and he'll add your name to the Lamb's Book of Life. Then when you get in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can only be in one church. Now, if you got baptized before and you ended up in a Baptist church or Methodist church or Catholic church or any of those churches I talked about, all that came from doctrine, commandments of men, that baptism you had, you just got wet. You're not saved. You just got wet. You don't. Now, I know right now you ain't liking what I'm saying. But you can't get on the day of judgment. You can't get up there and you standing by me and say, Brother Brooks, you should have told me. No, you should have listened because I did tell you. And then on September 6th, you was on my conference call and you heard it. You heard me tell you that. You heard me. You ain't got no out. It's on your record. You in a church that ain't in the Bible? And I know ain't getting a good word, but I'm going to say it ain't in the Bible. Then you're not saved. You're not saved. And then if you're in the church, God, and not living right, you're not saved either. Well, I pray to God. Now, if you're living in sin, get up. Stop praying. The Bible said, I, Lord, over the righteous, and ears open to their prayer. But he turns his face against them to do evil. John 9:31, this we know, blind man said, this we know God here not a sinner. No sin trying to pay a sinner's prayer to go to heaven. You got to get washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1 and verse 5. Baptism answer of a good conscience, 1 Peter 3:21. It's a life thing. We're in baptism that also now save us. How can somebody say baptism don't save and they believe in the Bible? The Bible specifically says baptism now save us. Those are unbelievers, you all. Are you on this call, you unbeliever? Talking about you don't believe in baptism? You're an unbeliever. That's what you are. And you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to make heaven a home as an unbeliever. No, you won't. No, you sure won't make it. You sure won't make it. You're not going to go. You're just not going. Yeah. So how do you become a Christian? Hearing this gospel story. Believing it with all of your heart. Acts 15 and verse 7. You got to hear the word of the gospel and believe. You got to hear the word of the gospel and you got to believe it. You got to hear the word of the gospel and you got to believe it. That's what Peter stood up in Acts 15 and said. Peter rose up and said to me and brothers, you know that how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentile by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. After that, you got to repent. You got to say, well, what do you mean by repent? When you find out you're wrong, you got to stop. You got to quit it. You got to get out of that denominational church. You got to repent of not taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You got to repent of going along with stuff that's not right. You got to repent of challenging the scripture. You got to repent of being a drunkard, an adulterer, a murderer. You got to change your life. A liar. You got to repent of rejecting God. And then you got to make a confession. Acts 8:37, they confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That man did. Acts 8:37. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. We had a young lady last Sunday, I think, got baptized. She said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. You have to do the same thing. Anybody who want to be saved, got to do it. That's what we've been doing on this gospel meeting call. We're baptizing people. Every time we baptize somebody, they have to make this confession. You're going to do it now. He said, you're going to confess me before me? I'll confess you before my Father. Matthew 10:32. Jesus said, if you deny me, I'll deny you. But every knee going to bow, y'all. Every knee will bow, and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're going to make that confession. You're going to do it, whether you do it now or you can do it at judgment, because everybody's going to do it. Everybody's going to make that confession. They're going to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's no way around it. You're going to even ask the best thing. My advice is that you do it now. Paul said that every knee, at Philippians 2:10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and earth and things under the earth. Yeah. In Romans 14:11, he said, for it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. You're going to confess that, Father? That was my son that was on that cross, but you chose not to confess him when you were living, but you're going to do it in front of me now. But it ain't because you're coming to heaven. I'm judging you now. I'm judging you. And that was your mistake. It was a fatal mistake. Eternal fatality. You'll be lost forever. Second death. Ain't no coming back, y'all. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Yes. So what is the lesson? One must hear the gospel. One must believe. One must repent of their sins, his or her sins. One must confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Then one must be baptized as commanded by the Lord. And then the Lord will put you into that one church, that holy city, that New Jerusalem, the church of Christ. And there you must live faithful unto them. And what Jesus said, live not faithful unto them. Meaning, I will be among those who are not fearful. If I have to give my life for this cause, I will. That's what he meant when he said, be faithful. He didn't say, be faithful until the day you die. That ain't what he said. I know some quoted like, that's not what he said. He said, be faithful unto death, and you shall receive a crown of life. Be faithful, even if it requires death. Revelation 2 and verse number 10. And so, again, the order of salvation. Hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, being baptized, added to the one true church. Then the Lord does that, and then one, the members of the Church of Christ, I'm not saying every member of the Church of Christ is going to heaven. I'm not saying that. Because if you're unfaithful and you die in your sins, you say, well, I am, you cannot come. That applies to us. So if the job is, don't think I'm just beating up on you. The Church of Christ folk got to do right too. It's everybody. God didn't leave nobody out. See, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, Galatians 6:1, you can be overtaken in a fault. Ye who are spiritual, restore. So it's no such thing as once saved, always saved. That's the biggest lie I've been told. I got people believing they can die drunk. They all going to be okay as long as they believe in Jesus. Yeah, that's what them reverends will teach you. That's not true. So when you're on the call this morning, you want to be saved, I'll give you the lesson. Here's the thing. The bride, the lamb wife, is the Church of Christ. It makes up exclusively the heaven. It will be the city that will dwell with God. And God will be their God. And God will dwell with them. And the assembly will be of God and angels. And we will be as angels. Not physical bodies, not flesh and blood, but spiritual. If you want to be in that place, the invitation song is going to be sung now. Brother Andrew is going to give us an invitation song. What I want you to do, hit 5-star on your phone if you have an interest in being baptized. You say, look, I want to be in that number. I want to be in that church. I want to be a part of that bride. I want to wear the name of Christ. And you need to obey the gospel. You get in touch with us, and we will make the arrangement, no matter where you are, to get you to the church where you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, you want to repent, you want to restore back to the true church, you want to get out of denomination or leave the churches that are teaching that false doctrine, even among churches of Christ, you need to get out, run, repent, confess you've been wrong, get back into the fold, and live according to God's will. Amen. So I'm talking to members of the church. If you need to restore, you can do that when we sing. And visit, if you want to be baptized, you can hit 5-star. Everybody hit 5-star on your phone if you want us to acknowledge you. You can do that when we sing. Brother Andrew will lead us in a song of invitation.